You're listening to Wanderlust Diaries, the ultimate travel podcast for solo female travellers 40 and beyond who are ready to explore the world. Join me, Terry Reynolds, where we talk all things travel and why it's so important and what's stopping you from getting out there and exploring the world. We'll discuss the steps you can take now to fix it, empowering you to ignite your curiosity and set your heart free so that you have the confidence to travel wherever you want, whenever you want. Offering insights, tips, hacks, and remarkable women's stories along the way. So come on, grab your passport, pack your sense of adventure, and get ready to be inspired. Whether you're a first-time solo traveller or a seasoned globetrotter, Wanderlust Diaries is your community of like-minded souls, uplifting and supporting women over 40 who dare to explore. So welcome to Wanderlust Diaries. Today I'm absolutely thrilled to have with me a guest who travels the world solo, but is also in a relationship. And today I want to explore how that works. So welcome to the podcast, the Becky Goulden. So it's great to have you here. Would you like to explain a little bit about you before we get into it? So you know where you're from and where you are today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me as a guest on your podcast, Terry. I'm excited to be talking with you today. My name is Becky. I am from the East Coast, Pennsylvania, originally, and have lived both in the UK and I currently live in Switzerland. So I moved here almost 2 years ago at this point and absolutely love it. And one of the main reasons that we moved here was to travel, of course.
Of course. Of course. And which part of Switzerland are you in?
I live in Lausanne.
Ah, lovely. Now, I have been to Switzerland, but many, many years ago and kind of just drove through it, really. But I know it's a lovely, lovely place. And do you, what are your plans? Because obviously this is not the first place where you've kind of stopped at, is it?
Sure. So my plans, what a great question. And I don't have an answer for you. My husband and I moved to Switzerland because we had the opportunity to. And we thought when you have the opportunity to live in Switzerland, you take it. Yeah. So our plans are quite short term at this point. And we travel, we try all the great food that is afforded to us that we don't necessarily have access to in the States. And right now we're really just playing it by ear, enjoying the time we have here and seeing where the journey takes us.
Oh, I love that. I love it. You know, and there's obviously the spontaneity is in there as well, isn't it? You know, and sometimes it's nice to have a long-term plan, but you don't always have to have one of those. So, okay, then, well, let's get into a bit of travel then. So tell us your why. What inspired you to travel in the first place? We all have our why, don't we? You know, mine is for me, which I can talk about later. But I'd be interested in understanding what your why is and why you started solo traveling.
Sure. I think I have about a million whys. I love to travel because of the way that it makes me feel. Mm. I love traveling as a means to connect with other people in my life. So I love traveling with my sisters. I love traveling with my husband because we create these amazing memories together. I love traveling to see new things that I've never seen before. And I also love traveling for the food. I can't talk about travel without talking about how much I love food because I truly think it is the way of experiencing a culture that is so tangible. And for me, it's so enjoyable. And whether that is going to markets or going into a grocery store, that's one of my favorite things to do when I get to a new place. And it might sound, it might sound a little mundane, but it's something actually that my parents did when we were growing up and when we traveled. We would go to a grocery store, see what the local like products were. And that was really a way of exploring further exploring the place that we were visiting.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that, because when I first arrive somewhere new, I like to do a bit of a walk around anyway. But I think mm-hmm. the grocery store is a great place to start because it really does give you a feel for what kind of food. I mean, you may already have an understanding because you know the country you're going to. But sure. It is, isn't it? It is. I love that. It's the first thing I do is go to the grocery store and get whatever I need for the next mm-hmm. few days. And it does really give you a good feel for where you are. So where did you first go
and travel to as a solo traveler? Where was the first place you went to?
It probably would have been when I was living in the UK. I was living in North Yorkshire and was there on a voluntary visa for a year. Wow. You know, didn't have a lot of friends, didn't have a lot of people around me who were going with me, or, you know, a lot of people that I was with, they had families, they had their routines. And so on the weekends, I had to occupy my time. Mm-hmm. And it started out as going into town by myself, which was actually something that I was not super comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I was right out of university and really had never been on my own. And so my solo trips started as like little day trips, mm-hmm. or getting on the bus and going somewhere new. And I really found that there was I found a lot of independence in that. And even just, you know, I remember a moment when I navigated the bus schedule and I didn't have a working cell phone at the time, actually. I didn't have any data. And so I had to do it all just by myself, just figuring it out by myself. And I found so much power in that and so much independence that I think I've just been going after that feeling ever since, because it made me really feel like I was capable and like I belonged. And it was wonderful.
Yeah. And do you think, I think those small steps, just those little steps, because, you know, anybody watching or listening to this now, they may be thinking, wow, you know, she went to the UK. But that's okay. That's a really big step. But once you arrive somewhere then you have to find your way around. And I do think that those small steps can be much more powerful and empowering, can't they? You know, just like you said, you didn't have a phone, so you had to figure out the bus timetable in a totally new country. And how old were you at this point, Becky?
I was 23.
Oh, wow.
and you know, I think that's one thing too. Like, I think as women, like, we see these amazing stories of solo travel, like on social media or on a blog, and you think, if I'm going to travel solo, I have to go for like 3 months to Thailand completely on my own. And you don't have to. It can just be a day trip, or it can be a little weekend, or whatever you're comfortable with. But I found it enormously empowering. And I tell all the young people that I do a mentorship program through my college. And so that is something that I really try to impart, that the independence that you find while traveling is different, I think, than anything you experience, especially as a young woman.
I couldn't agree more. And that's absolutely true of being an older woman as well, you know, because I was late 30s, 39, 40 when I started traveling.
Sure.
And I felt exactly the same. But that's what I tell my clients as well, is, you know, don't think that solo travel means that, you know, if you, no matter which country, if you're in which country you're in, if you're in the USA, it doesn't mean you have to go over to Australia or even from the UK.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be a grand flight somewhere, you know. It doesn't have to be that big thing. It can just be, even if it's only 10 miles down the road from you and you go and stay overnight in a hotel, you know, it doesn't, it's that first step. It's about, and what that's about is giving you the confidence, because once you've taken that really small step, the worst bit for me is the planning, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going, you know, when you've booked it, when I first did it, and when you booked it, it's like, I've got to go. Oh my gosh, I'm going. You know, that
sure.
part of it is probably the worst bit. And I think that if you take those small steps, and if you've got a little bit of a plan once you get there, will make a massive difference. And what a great feeling, isn't it, once you've done it? I bet once you got on that bus and you got to your destination, you were like, yes, bring it on.
Yes. Yeah. It's this feeling for me of just like, being totally capable,
yes.
and being in a place that I've never been before, or where I don't necessarily have any help to reach out to, you know, with like a friend or a family member nearby. But it just something, like I said, as simple as taking the bus can just make you feel so good.
Yeah.
And so capable.
And I found that whenever I get to a new country, I'll just get on the bus and do a round trip. You know, just get on,
yeah.
stay on that and just you know, go from the bus station back to the bus station, just to get a feel for where I am as well. I find that's really useful, empowering, and it just gives you an insight of where you are, a better insight of where you are and where you're staying. So I love all of that. I totally get all of that. And hopefully our listeners will understand that as well. You know, you don't have to have a grand gesture. It can just be a very small step. But what inspired you, though, Becky? So was the UK the first place you came to as a solo traveler?
Yes, technically. Yeah, I've also done some other trips as well. But that was really like a solo year. Mm. It was a year that I lived in North Yorkshire and was pretty much on my own, away from, you know, everybody I had known, grown up with, everything. I grew up in a small town and have two sisters. And so I feel like for most of my life, I was around other people who knew what they were doing. And yeah, that was the first time that I really had to figure it out for myself.
And what did, you know, on the back of that then, it's a big step for you to take at such a young age. How were your family about that?
They were really supportive. They were really supportive. Yeah. I think my family has realized that I was born without the travel nerves gene. Mm-hmm. And so if I tell my family I'm going to go somewhere, they're like, great, can we come along? Or, you know, I backpacked Italy with my parents because I said to them, I really want to go to Italy. I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. And they said, wonderful. Like, do you want us to come along? Mm-hmm. And so that could have been a solo trip, but also it was this amazing, like, I think it was 2 months with my parents, mm-hmm, who were around 60 and they were backpacking with me. And it was the greatest. And it was such an important memory to make with, yeah, them. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's amazing. What about, you know, so obviously they gave you their support, but were they worried about like the safety aspects for you?
I'm sure they were.
All right.
I'm sure they were.
Kind of, you know.
No.
With you.
Nobody made it difficult for me to make the decision to go abroad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was through a church organization as well. And so there was some comfort in that there was a structure, mm-hmm, around me as I was going. There were people who would be able to help if I needed help. But if my family was nervous about it, or if they didn't want me to go, mm-hmm, they didn't tell me about it. And at the time I had graduated college and my husband was finishing his master's. At the time he was my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And he, I remember telling him too, I said, I was accepted to this program. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do it. And his answer was, okay, great.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and only, mm-hmm, only more recently have I really understood how much of a gift that was, because there are plenty of people who would not have had such an easygoing attitude about it.
No.
But at the same time, it was something that I really wanted to do in my life. And he understood that. And he also, you know, down the road, we got married and we moved abroad. And so I'm really grateful to him that, not that he let me go, because that's not how I look at it,
yeah,
but that he was supportive of it. And yeah, he was supportive of us moving abroad together as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they're really powerful words you use there, you know, as opposed to let you go, to supporting you to do what it was in your heart. So, you know, on the back of that then as well, I mean, what motivates you to travel solo, you know, when your husband isn't able to join you?
Yes. So what motivates me to travel solo is I want to have experiences, mm, and I don't want to wait for other people. Mm. And so, for example, my husband had a business trip about a year ago, and I found out that it was just after the pandemic that lockdown had really lessened. And so I found out that in London, they were having a theater week. Mm. Tickets were heavily discounted, mm, and I really wanted to go. I wanted to see as many shows as I could because I had missed live theater during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I said to my husband, do you mind if I go? Like, do you want to see any of these shows? If he wanted to, it would gladly have been something that I would have wanted to do together. But he couldn't go. And he said, I want you to have this experience. Have a good time. And it was within, like, I don't know, 3 days of when I was leaving that I booked the tickets, the flights, the hotel, and I got my tickets to see shows as well. And I pulled, I think it was, I saw like 5 shows in 4 days or something. And it was amazing. It was wonderful. I took myself out to dinner. I did a little shopping. I saw all of these shows that some of them hadn't made it over to Broadway yet. And so I loved seeing how those shows were being, you know, workshopped in London. It was great. And I think I felt that when it comes to solo traveling for me, if people want to join me, wonderful. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't work out, I still want to go. I'm still going to go. And that's not going to hold me back.
Yeah. And that's a fantastic, fantastic attitude to have. Because a lot of people won't do that, especially those who are in relationships, married or not.
Sure.
They won't have that impetus to do that. And it may be for fear of upsetting the partner. And I think you need to have that clarity, don't you, in a relationship as to whether or not, because I think when we spoke before, you were a bit concerned that maybe your solo days of traveling may be over, you know, once you're with and you're married with your husband, and that's turned out not to be the case, absolutely not to be the case. And I think that's because of the communication. You know, you have to have that open communication, I think, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when my husband and I had gotten engaged, I totally thought that my days of solo traveling were over. Mm. And that was quite jarring to me. Mm-hmm. Because in my life, I didn't have other married couples who were traveling and doing their own thing. My parents always traveled together, and that's a wonderful thing. And I love traveling with my husband, but having this feeling of like, am I going to lose a small part of myself that I've really loved and I've really found a lot of empowerment with? Mm-hmm. That was very scary. And you're completely right. Even if I were to tell my husband, I need to go on this trip by myself because it's important to me for some mm-hmm. reason. I know he would support me and he would say, great, I'll see you when you get back and we'll talk about it. And then we'll plan our next trip together, which is really a wonderful gift to be given.
It is.
And at the same time, it's that bit of independence, you know, that I didn't want to lose. And I really didn't have a role model for when we were preparing to get married.
Well, yeah, like you said, you know, your parents go everywhere together. So, and that was my case as well. You know, whenever there was a holiday, it was always the whole family together. Not one of them mm-hmm. ever went anywhere without the other. So, yeah. So that's interesting that, you know, you've that behavior is yours alone and it's not a learned one. So that's, so that's really interesting. Well, there was another question in my head that I was going to ask, but it's gone for a second, but I'm sure it'll come back in a second. What I was going to say was, so when you go on your solo travels on your own, how does that work? You know, do you decide that, have you already decided that, you know, there'll be no longer than 2 weeks or a month, or, you know, is there a set time, or does it just depend on what it is you want to do and where you want to go?
I think it really just depends on the trip. For example, when I went to London for the shows, to see the shows, I think that started out as maybe a 2-day trip, and then I kept adding shows onto it and it became 4 somehow. And so, you know, if I head to London and there are tickets to the West End for like under £30, it's dangerous. but it really depends on the trip, and it sort of depends where I'm going. Mm-hmm. I try to travel pretty cost efficiently as well. So that depends. And I have a very flexible job. And so I'm able to sort of travel in the middle of the week if I need to.
Yeah.
And that's really wonderful too.
Yeah. No, that's great. It's great to have a flexible job, isn't it? I've got one.
Absolutely. It's wonderful.
how do you stay connected? You know, so once you're on your travels, do you have a set way of communicating that, you know, you speak to each other at 5 p.m. every night, no matter where you are in the world, or how does that work?
I text my family pretty constantly, meaning every day. I'm in touch with someone in my family nearly every day. I definitely talk to my husband every day, but we don't really have a set upset plan. It's really that I let folks know when I've landed. Yeah. I let folks know when I'm safe or when I'm in for the evening. And of course, like if there's something really cool, like sometimes I'll call one of my family members and do a video call and show them.
Yeah.
But typically it's pretty organic. Mm. And there has, you know, luckily there has never been a situation where I felt unsafe while traveling solo. There might be something, you know, here and there where, you know, it hasn't been the most wonderful experience, but I've never felt unsafe while traveling. And I've been very lucky that I haven't had to make any dire phone calls home. So I've just really kept channels of communication open with family, but that would happen whether or not I'm at home or if I'm traveling.
Well, that's it now, isn't it? With you know, all the apps that are available to us, you know, we can keep in contact the whole time. Again, I was going to ask you something else, and it was going into my head. I'll come back in a second. So, yes, what I was going to ask you was, are there any specific solo travel experiences that have strengthened your relationship with your husband? Is there anything specific?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know that there's a particular event that has strengthened my relationship, but I think having the buy-in from my partner that I can still travel and do things on my own is really important, because if I did not have a supportive partner, I think that would be really difficult. If somehow I had a partner who did not like to travel at all, that would be very hard for me.
Yes.
So luckily that's not the case. And I think I set the tone pretty early in our relationship that I was going to travel, and if he wanted to travel with me, he was welcome to come along.
Yes.
But particularly with spending a year away abroad, I think sent a pretty strong message. You know, that was the message that was like, Sam, we're going to travel, and if you want to come along, amazing. Like he spent his spring break with me in Amsterdam and Paris that year. So he's always been enormously supportive, because I think he knows that you got to get on the train and have some fun, or else you're going to get left behind.
Oh, no, I totally understand that. I get that totally. Are there any tips that you could pass on to our listeners, you know, for someone in your situation that they could learn from?
Absolutely. If you have the opportunity, take the opportunity to travel and have the conversations with your partner ahead of time. Find out their thoughts and feelings about you traveling solo, what the expectations are. I think that's really important to voice expectations, because I've realized that not everyone so easily gets on a plane like I do, and not everyone's partner feels so comfortable with their partner jetting off somewhere. So I've realized that it's not my experience is not everyone's experience. I am really conscious that if they're, you know, when people are having these conversations with their partner about traveling solo, that an important thing to distinguish is what that means for you, the traveler. You know, helping someone to understand like why you want to do it, why you want to travel alone, why it's important for you to have a little bit of like boundaries there. That's really important, because I think some people could be quite put off by hearing like, I'm going to go on this trip and you might not be welcome to come along. But when in reality, what you're saying is, I really need to have this experience for myself. And I also want to have other experiences with you, but this one is for me.
No, exactly. And also, I mean, maybe you don't get this, but there may be feelings of guilt as well. Because I know that you said, you know, this is your calling to do this, and your husband's well aware of it. But I would imagine that there would be plenty of people out there who might have those guilty feelings for wanting to go off on their own.
Sure, totally. I totally understand that. And I think that there are probably feelings of guilt maybe around money, about spending money without your partner, or depending on, you know, who makes more money. That can sometimes feel really unbalanced. Sometimes when I travel, I absolutely have experiences and think, oh, I really wish this person was here with me to experience it. And that is not just relating only to my husband. Like, there are times when I go abroad and I think, oh, my dad would really love to see this thing. Or my mom would love to see this amazing architecture that I'm seeing right now. And then I just plan a trip to go with them to that place. But yes, I fully understand that guilt could play a role. I think it's important to know why those feelings are coming up, though. And if they are legitimate, or if they're sort of like imposed by expectations, whether they're yours or someone else's.
Absolutely.
Upon you.
And again, it's down to communication, isn't it? It's about having that talk, those chats, knowing exactly why the other one is doing what they're doing, and then maybe knowing how the other one might be feeling. But if you've got that communication and you're always talking about it, then, you know, that should be quite clear. The clarity's there then, isn't it? You know, it should be quite clear, and there shouldn't be any kind of gray areas. I would have thought so anyway. I don't have that problem. I'm a single person, but I don't have that issue, you know. But I can imagine that there would be a lot of partners out there that would absolutely probably say no straight away. No, I'm not happy about that. But after, you know, with the communication, talking it all through, and even talking about, you know, you may feel guilty because the other person who's maybe saying no may feel guilty for saying no as well.
Sure.
You know, so it is a two-way street, isn't it? But I just love the dynamic of you two. I think it's amazing, you know, and I think it's great for our listeners to hear this as well, you know. So let's talk about where you've been then. So out of the countries that you've visited, where would be your top destination? Have you got a top destination? I mean, it's quite difficult for me to choose, but have you got a top destination that you've been to, and why would it be your top destination?
Okay. My top destination, I have a couple, and I think they change every day. Right.
Yeah.
I think one of the most recent places that my husband and I had been was Norway. We did a road trip this summer through Norway, and I expected it to be amazing. And it was like times 10.
Ooh.
And it was a different vacation than what we typically do too. Mm. It was a road trip. We did a lot of hiking. It was pretty cold while we were there. And mostly our vacations are like, we go to a European city, we walk around, we go to a bunch of markets, we check out the museums. So this was a different style of vacation, and I loved it. We were there for 14 days, and I think I could have doubled that easily, just looking at fjords and eating brunost and looking at the goats. It was amazing. And the colors were just the greens and the blues in Norway, I think, are HD.
Okay.
It was amazing. Yeah. So while we were there, we were talking to a local, and they said, oh, you're from Switzerland. Well, then Norway must be really boring for you. And we both just looked at each other and we were like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Just perceptions, I suppose. Oh, wow.
I guess it's one of those things, like if you grow up around the fjords, it's what you know.
Yeah.
And so Switzerland seems quite exotic.
Yes.
And While Switzerland continues to astound me, I was blown away by Norway as well.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you, you know, when you go to different countries then, so you had that perception from the Norwegian. How do you, like with different cultures now, how do you find that you settle in? What is it you do before you go to a specific country to learn maybe a little bit about the way that they live?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Rick Steves, actually. Yeah. I love Rick Steves. He's a Lutheran. I'm a Lutheran. We don't have a ton of famous Lutherans. And so, like, shout out to the Lutherans. But I love Rick Steves' approach to travel because it is very low pressure. And it doesn't matter, you know, the photos, the Instagrammable photos don't matter. It's just about experiencing the culture, particularly from a local perspective. So going to the little mom and pop restaurants, making a sandwich from a grocery store, art museums. I love art. I love the food. We talked about that already, but shout out to the food again. And so I usually watch Rick Steves. I also, you know, check out a lot on Instagram. I take a look at some local accounts. I usually pull together some information from, I think it's called 1,000 Things to Eat Before You Die. I make a little list of the local items to try. Taste Atlas is also another really amazing resource. And I put together an itinerary and then fill things in as I find them. And so planning a trip for me takes, it takes a couple of months. We usually book out transportation pretty far in advance. And I actually feel quite nervous when I go someplace more spontaneously, because I feel like I haven't done my research.
No. Research is a big thing, isn't it? You know, it's about, and then, you know, once you've researched somewhere, because I'm a bit like you, I like to know everything about everything, wherever I'm going. I don't want to be surprised by anything. I want to know because I want to embrace it when I get there. I want to be, I want to really enjoy it. I don't want to get somewhere and think, oh, what's all this about? You know, I want to be prepared, and I don't want the locals to have that feeling of me either, that, oh God, you know, does she even know what she's doing? So it's really great, isn't it, to do that research, have that under your belt, and to embrace the culture and to eat. I love when I go somewhere new, I like to go to wherever the locals eat. You know, I like to get off the tourist trap, off the tourist, out of the touristy areas, and literally try and live like a local. I love to do that because that's usually where you find the best restaurants, the best cafes, the best whatever it is, the best grocery stores. Do you find that yourself?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think that's one of the reasons that when I get somewhere, I also try to do a walking tour in the first day that I'm there. And if you're lucky enough to have a local guide, that's absolutely one of my questions. It's like, where do I need to go to eat to get the real food? Or to, you know, experience what they experience. And so sometimes I'm really lucky and they're like, oh, here's an amazing like hole in the wall restaurant. Go check it out. You'll love it. And I think it was in Stockholm. I asked my guide that question and he was like, oh, people in Stockholm don't really eat meatballs or like Swedish food. So like there's a really great Thai restaurant over there. And I thought, okay, thanks, but I'm still going to go eat the meatballs.
Yes. Yes.
Or I probably had like my fifth cardamom bun at that point, you know, because I was like, well, do what the locals do. And, in my mind, they're eating cardamom buns every day. Yes.
So if it's good for them, it must be good for me.
Right.
I agree with you on that. You know, it is about research, finding out as much as you can about where you're going. I love spontaneity as well. But usually spontaneity, you end up going somewhere where you've already been maybe, you know, so you don't need to do that quite in-depth research. And what do you do to plan? Like for me, I like to, if I'm going somewhere for quite a while and I'm not sure where I'm going to end up, I always like to have that first night's accommodation booked. So at least I know where I'm staying that first night, you know, especially if you're landing somewhere or arriving somewhere at an awkward hour. It's always, I find anyway, that for me, I like to have that first accommodation booked, and then I either stay there for another night or whatever it is, or, you know, book somewhere else or wherever I'm going. But I just like to know I've got that under my belt.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you're saying that, Terry, I don't think I've ever taken a trip where I didn't have all of my transportation or all of my accommodations booked.
Mm.
And so maybe I need to go on a trip with you and we'll have a real spontaneous trip and we'll figure it out as we go. Because I've never done that.
Well, you know, when I first traveled back in 1999, there were no cell phones. Well, they were just coming out then. You know, you certainly couldn't take a phone around the world with you.
Sure.
And there was no internet. You know, you just about had email at that point. My first email I got when I arrived in India. And so they set it. I went to an internet cafe there within the first couple of days. And one of the guys there said, shall I set you an? I said, oh, yes, please. I felt really posh, you know, because
I'm amazing.
I'm really into this technology. So when I first went, you know, you couldn't just go onto the internet and just book whatever you wanted to whenever. It literally was, you know, taking a rough guide. I had the rough guide to India with me, the book. So I had so many books with me because I was traveling around the world at the time, you know, for a year. So I took all the books, which obviously, you know, took up half the weight in my rucksack.
Sure.
And it was a case of that, you know, you just had to. There's no way I could have booked for a whole year. So it was just a case of, right, where am I going next? Right, let's book that then for the first night, you know, and just did it that way. But no, I knew exactly where I was going around the world. You know, I had my flights arranged, but not the accommodation straight away. So it can be exciting, but it can also be a bit nerve-wracking when you're not really sure when, you know, where you're going to end up. When you arrive to that new country. So did you have any kind of, I know you said there weren't any, you didn't have any scares of you, you know, whilst you've been traveling around, any nervousness around anything? Because I know as well, you said about your nerves, you're not really a nervous traveler or anything, but has there been anywhere in any country where you've thought, you know, is there a country where you've gone that you've really liked, but really surprised you?
Yes, actually, I recently went to Bosnia and Herzegovina my husband. This was not a solo trip, but we were in Dubrovnik for a couple of days, rented a car, and decided to drive to Montenegro and to Bosnia and Herzegovina. And that was one place that I never thought I would go to, didn't know anything about it. Mm. Definitely watched a Rick Steves special on it. But it just wasn't on my list. I just didn't know anything about it. And when we got to Mostar, I was floored by how much I enjoyed it. And sure, it was touristy. There were tour buses. There were groups being led around. But I also went on a walking tour that was led by a man who actually fought in the war in the 90s. Mm. And I had this experience where I was learning about this very contentious part of history that I really didn't know about and that happened during my lifetime. And so it was shocking to learn about. You could really still see the after effects of the war still within Mostar. I also experienced this with my husband. So we had a lot of questions, a lot of thoughts about sort of our experiences as Americans, just not knowing a whole lot about world history.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like, it was a part of the world that I hadn't been to. It was beautiful. It was interesting. The art was gorgeous to look at. And the food was really good too. You know, the food was we had just this amazing spread of all types of grilled meats and dips and veggies. And it was like one of the highlights of the trip for sure. But we went to Dubrovnik and ended up just like loving Bosnia and Herzegovina and Montenegro. It was really interesting.
Oh, it sounds amazing. I haven't been to that part of the world myself. How long are you there?
We were actually there for one day.
Oh, okay.
And so I think we drove 3 hours to Mostar and then 3 hours back through these very, you know, remote roads. And it was totally worth it. You know,
yeah.
6 hours in the car in one day. It was definitely worth
it. That's a lot. But I think that, you know, when you do these kind of micro trips, if you like, to have that tour guide with you, as you spoke of earlier, I think that makes a massive difference. You know,
for sure.
Especially if you're not familiar with, you know, when I first got to India, I knew nothing about India. I just knew I wanted to go there. And to have some guides occasionally, you know, to take you around and to explain, it's really lovely as well, because you can read all this stuff. Of course you can. But it's really nice to have that personal touch, to have somebody explain about why that part of the building is fallen down, why that part over there is coloured slightly different. And, you know, all those intricacies, really, because it's something you can look at and you can wonder and somebody might tell you something. But a guide, obviously, knows all of those details, and it takes you a fraction of the time to find out everything that you need to know.
Sure.
Which is fantastic, you know, to have that knowledge from somebody instead of trying to find your way around. You know, I want to go to that end and then I want to go back to that place. And, you know, you can spend a lot of time, can't you, just trying to navigate yourself around, trying to understand everything. But when you've got a guide, occasionally those guides are brilliant, because I love just wandering around and getting a bit lost anyway. But to have those guides kind of navigating you and giving you all the information, and then you come away with that information, you know, it's all like concise, isn't it? Condensed all into, you know, an hour or 2 hours or whatever it is.
Definitely. And I think it's a really great balance between like having an activity to do and, you know, getting the lay of the land and learning about history and having the opportunity to really talk to somebody who's a local. And then, of course, like the other side of that is having a wander around afterwards, or going back to the places that maybe you wanted a little more time in. I think a really quality guide can absolutely make your trip.
Yeah, make all the difference. And again, that comes down to research as well, doesn't it? You know, if you can before you go, and if you can plan that, like you say, with so much little time you had, had you planned that guide when you got there? Is it something that you'd already planned, or could you, you know, do it on the hoof, as it were?
So actually, it was recommended by another couple who was on a different tour with us. I think we did a walking tour in Dubrovnik and struck up a conversation, and they asked us if we were going to go to Mostar, and then they gave us the recommendation for the guide. So it was really lucky that we had that conversation, because otherwise I would not have known to book a tour with that specific company.
It's great, isn't it, to have recommendations as well?
Definitely. And when they're very good too. Yeah.
Makes a massive difference. And, you know, this has been great talking to you about your solo travels, you know, considering that you're in a relationship as well. And it may sound like a bit of a big deal, and it can be for some people, can't it? You know, like you say, you're lucky, your partner totally understands. And there may be some people out there who are literally, you know, craving to get away, but they haven't got the understanding of their partners. And I think hopefully listening to your side of the story and how it works for both of you, I hope we've passed that on to those listeners and they can take something away from this, you know. And if they have got a partner that's not really into it, maybe they'll listen to this podcast, and, you know, they can persuade them otherwise. Is there, if there's one thing you could pass on to somebody who really wants to do this, is there one thing that you would pass on to them?
Book the trip.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's not about persuading someone else to allow me to do something. It's about having an experience and allowing the other person in my life to support me in something that I love.
Yeah.
And I think travel is something that if you want to do it, you can't wait, you know, because you don't know if that destination will be how it is right now in 10 or 20 years. You don't know if you will be in good health. You don't know if you will have money to do it or some other circumstance. And, you know, it is only something that will benefit you and your relationship if your partner sees it that way too.
Yeah. And there can always be, there's always something that will stop you. You can always put something in your way, you know, and that's down to, it could just be limiting beliefs as well. It could be something, something like that. But if you allow those things to stop you, you're just not going to live those experiences. And it's the transformation as well, isn't it, that you feel from that first solo trip, that first trip you take by yourself. You'll never be the same again. You just, and I couldn't explain that to somebody who's never done it. Like you couldn't. They have to experience it themselves, don't they?
Yes. And Terry, you're reminding me of a story of when I went to Israel on a pilgrimage with a church group. It was not really a solo trip. It was a tour group. And I was sitting with a woman who was probably in her 50s. We were on the plane. We were just talking. She was very nervous. She was very nervous to travel without her husband. She had never done it before. And she was telling me that, you know, she didn't know she was going to like it. She was going to have a hotel room by herself. She was going to be lonely. And we were just talking through it. And on the way back after that, I think it was a 10-day trip. After that trip, I said to her, you know, what did you think? How do you feel? And she just looked at me and said, I don't know how I'm going to share a bedroom again. I just loved having my own hotel room, my own bathroom. I got to do what I wanted. I didn't have to worry about, you know, music or what time I went to bed. And it was such a funny moment, but a really touching moment too, because I think even, you know, at 50 or whatever age she was, like she was finding this independence that she didn't know she needed. And I think she looked at me too. And she was, you know, I was thinking like, oh my gosh, like you're so nervous about traveling solo. Like what is that about? And she probably was looking at me and thinking, you're 23. Like, what are you doing? Aren't you nervous? Like, what do you know about going out into the world? But I think of that often. And I hope that she has done a couple of other solo trips too.
I love that. You know, that's the two. So diverse, isn't it? You know, from somebody really young to somebody who's, you know, like me, you know, I was 39, 40, but still, you're still at the other end. You know, I'd been married. I'd had a baby. You know, my daughter was 19 when I went off traveling. I did all of that stuff very young, you know, and I did my traveling later in life. And that's, you know, and it is all down to your own perspective and your own way that you are in the world. I would never in a million years have gone off at 20, 21, 22, 23, whether I'd had a baby, married or not. There's no way I did not have that in me at that age, you know. So we all have different times, don't we, where suddenly we're like, right, we need to do something different. And that was it for me. And I hope that lady, like you said, I hope she has had, how long ago was that?
Oh, at this point, that was 2015.
All right. So I hope that in the last, you know, 8 years that she has had many experiences, and I'm sure she will think about you occasionally, just like you think about her, you know, and her experiences.
I hope so.
But that's what travel does for you, isn't it? You know, and, you know, I haven't solo traveled for quite a while now, you know, but it's always there. It's always there waiting for me to go, you know, and I will be doing it again very soon. But, you know, it doesn't mean just because you're a solo traveler that you always have to go and solo travel either. You know, you can go with, it's fine to go with other people. You just find your own way about what you want to do, when you want to do it. And like we said earlier on in this conversation, you know, take those small steps. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It doesn't have to be, right, I've got to go and fly for 10 hours to be somewhere totally different in the world. And there's nothing wrong with doing that either. But what I'm saying is, don't let it stop you. Don't let thinking that is, I can't do that. You can just go 10 miles down the road. Just go and stay on your own. It's familiarity. You know how to drive on the roads. You know how to get the train. You know all the stuff around you. But that first time, you know, people worry about eating on their own, you know, going sightseeing on their own, going to the cinema on their own, going to the theatre on their own. You know, once you've done it, you know, you realize it doesn't matter. You know, I can do this on my own.
Right. I used to think, like, are people looking at me if I sit at a restaurant?
Yes.
No one's looking. No one cares.
If they are, then they've got nothing better to do. You know, and they're probably quite jealous and thinking, I wish that was me. Especially when you see some couple sat there, you know, and they don't even talk to each other.
So what's your next trip then, Terry?
Well, my next planned trip is I'm actually going on a cruise.
Oh, interesting. I've never been on a cruise.
I know. And it's never really been for me at all. And then a couple of months ago, I got a bit of a bee in my bonnet. And I thought, something came up about a cruise. I don't even know. I can't remember what it was. And I thought, oh, now let's have a look at this. I'm actually going down to the Bahamas. I'm going to the Caribbean, not the Bahamas. I'm going to the Caribbean. Yes. And I'm doing that for 2 weeks. Now I am going with my cousin. My cousin's coming as well.
Fun.
But if she'd said no, I was going to go on my own anyway. Because the thing with solo travel is you can be on your own or you can be with people. It's entirely up to you, isn't it? It depends how you're feeling. And I just thought, let's try this cruise then and see what it's like. It's never been for me, but oh my gosh, all the different countries I'm going to be visiting, all the different areas I'm going to be that I've heard about. You know, I thought, I'd love to go there. I'd love to go there. So my Instagram is obviously going to be awash with the Caribbean once I go on this cruise. So I'm really excited for it. And it'll be another part of my, you know, my repertoire, if you like, of what I've done. So I'm really looking forward to that. But so that's my next planned trip. But I'm hoping to do something between now and Christmas. I'm not sure, maybe just a long weekend, something like that. So I'm hoping to do that. But that'll be a spontaneous thing. It'll be, you know, should I just fly out Sunday and come back Wednesday, that type of thing. You know, so it could well be that. Yes. What about you? What have you got? Have you got anything planned now? Anything coming up?
Yes. I'm going to Edinburgh in about a week for a long weekend. Yes.
Any specific some family reason? Members.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Any specific reason?
Yes. We are celebrating my mother-in-law's birthday there.
Ah.
And so we have some family members who will meet us in Scotland, and that'll be a nice long weekend.
Yes, lovely.
And yes, and then actually just last week, my husband bought tickets to Dave Matthews Band in Florence, Italy. And so we're planning that trip as well. And we just booked tickets for London next July. Actually, because we'll sprinkle in some other trips here and there. We'll figure out Easter. Yeah. I always just troll EasyJet for low flights.
Yes.
But an American baseball team is coming to London next summer. So I don't want anyone to think that we never travel anywhere that my husband wants to go and that I choose all our destinations, because we're traveling for Dave Matthews Band and we're traveling for the Phillies in London as well.
And I, you know, I love that. And the fact that you've just got these little trips, you know, interspersed with everything. Like I said, it doesn't have to be grand gestures. You know, they can be these little trips, you know, that you can just dot in just for a couple of days here and there. Well, do you know what? Thank you, Becky. Honestly, it's been lovely. I've absolutely loved hearing your story, especially from you know, your traveling and having a partner and how you deal with all how you both, you know, deal with with that. It's been fantastic. So thank you. Thank you very much for sharing it with us. All the links and information around Becky, because she does have a business as well, which we haven't had a chance to talk about today at all. And I could talk for another hour. Easily. But all the links, anything connected with Becky, can be found in the show notes. But that's all for today's episode of Wanderlust Diary. So thank you all so much for listening. We hope you found it informative and helpful. If you've got any questions, any feedback, or would like to be a guest, please feel free to reach out on the website. All the details will be in the show notes. And remember, age should never stop your pursuit of adventure, and the world is waiting for you to explore its wonders. And this podcast can be found on all different platforms. So we'll see you next time on Wanderlust Diaries. And thank you again, Becky, for joining us. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Terry.
And that concludes this episode of Wanderlust Diaries, celebrating the fearless spirit of solo female travellers who are 40 and beyond. I hope you found inspiration, valuable insights, and a renewed sense of wanderlust. Thank you to all our incredible listeners who have joined us on this exciting journey. Remember, age should never stop your quest for adventure, because the world is waiting for you to explore its wonders. And don't forget to join our community on social media to connect with fellow travellers, and subscribe and review us on your favourite podcast platform. All links are in the show notes. Keep dreaming, keep exploring, and stay fearless. Until next time, this is Terry Reynolds signing off from Wanderlust Diaries. Psst, don't keep me a secret. Please tell your friends and fellow travellers.